Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Pico Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to be kind of looking back at the past year and doing a little bit of looking forward towards the next patch, the next year. Just kind of a little bit of recap and speculation. And I guess we can kick things off by looking back at the very recent past. How were your holidays, Anom?
They were good. I guess this will be, we haven't had a podcast in what, probably 2 weeks now. So with each of us having our own little holiday fun time. It was good. We had a bunch of family in town. Basically have been off work for the past week. So it's been a very, very chill time, we'll say. Very, very chill. So it's been fun. How are yours?
It's been a strange couple of weeks for me. I was hoping to take the last couple of weeks of the year off of work, and it didn't quite end up working out because we had some work emergencies. It was good. Got to see family. Went and visited my grandparents because my grandfather had heart surgery, so that was fun. That's one of the weeks that we missed. Yep. But he's recovering well. Everybody's doing awesome. Good. Had a nice chill weekend this weekend. Spent some time at long last getting and putting together some furniture for my apartment.
Nice. It's very fun.
So, yeah,
that's awesome. Speaking of furniture and apartments, I don't know if I ever told this story, but the first apartment I ever had. So the first, once I moved out after college or whatever, I had a huge apartment, like huge by my standards. Like I had a living room. I had a dining room. I had like a kitchen that you could put a table in. I had like a bedroom. Yeah. It was a big place. And I lived there for a year. And in that entire year, I had three pieces of furniture outside of my bedroom. And it was like a desk that I put my TV on and my computer on, a couch that sat in front of it, and then like my computer chair. Like I had an entirely empty room. Like and I just never put anything in. So like, furniture, furniture's fun.
That sounds about, mine's not that extreme. I had in my like dining area, I've got a table. In my living room, I've got my work desk. And then I've got the stuff in the bedroom, and that's actually about it. That's about all the furniture that had been in my apartment. I finally went and I was like, okay, I need shelves.
Put stuff up. Maybe
shelves on which to place things.
Yeah. Maybe you'll stay a little bit. Maybe you'll stay a little bit. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, cool. No, it sounds like, sounds like it maybe not as, I guess it seems like you still had a little bit of work to do. I, of course, have done nothing for like a week, which has been nice. But
yeah, jealous.
Yeah, now I get to open up my email later tonight and we'll see how well I do.
Don't open it tonight. Open it tomorrow morning.
So the only problem is I have, for whatever reason, I'm an idiot, but I have
international stuff, right?
Yeah, so I have international stuff for my company, but I also have a meeting every Monday morning at 7:30 with part of my team. And so I have to open up my laptop at least to cancel that meeting because I'm not going to hold it tomorrow. But it also means I'm going to see a bunch of emails come in. So I have the type of personality where I'll start like reading stuff, organizing, and then get set up. So hopefully not too long. But yeah, well, God, back to work, man. Back to work. Not as excited. So, but yeah, I guess maybe we'll can jump into a couple things. So to be fair, not only have we not done a lot in terms of podcasting, Blizzard hasn't really done anything in terms of the game over the past, 2 weeks. I think they took off, I think they had the 2 weeks off, say the week of Christmas and then the last week, right? Both off. So we haven't seen
zero PTR updates since our last podcast. We did get more PTR testing, which we will talk a little bit about. I think we've tested every heroic boss that is going to be tested based on what they said about not testing the last three. So the first eight have all been tested, but we will talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. So I think the only two things I wanted to touch on were one was just about the guys over, and I always pronounce their names wrong, but it's the MO podcast. It's like Mer something. Oh, what's the name of it?
I actually had that because you linked that, and I was listening to it while I was assembling furniture.
Yeah,
and they are what, Flame and Marcellian.
Yeah, Flame and Marcellian. Sorry, I always get Marcellian's name wrong. But yeah, so they sort of have done. I was on their podcast or their cast a little bit when they talked about Mistweaver Monks with Abbe, and I don't know if you did anything with them on Brewmaster, but they do a lot of like content. And one of the things they did over the break was they put together a podcast just talking about a bunch of like class type stuff or system type stuff around World of Warcraft with like four pretty well-known individuals in the community, particularly like the Wowhead community. They're all writers for us, they're all writers for Wowhead. And they're also just prominent community members in their different classes. So you have Word Up from Shamans, Guilty S from the Feral community, Panthea, who I believe is Tank, right?
He and the other guy that's on the podcast, Man, both do Blood DK stuff, which is kind of funny. But Panthea also runs the Tank Notes website, which I'm sure a lot of people that tank are familiar with. Great Spark Notes version of a fight that you haven't done before. A lot of compiled like tips and tricks from people that have killed the fight before.
So they did a big podcast. It's actually pretty interesting what they talk about. I think, you know, some of these people you might know as maybe a little bit more negative about the game. So they have some interesting takes, but I'd say like, check it out. Lots of good, just conversation. It is pretty long at like 2 hours. So, takes a little bit to get through, but no, it's, they talk really about systems, like the borrowed power buzzword that goes around a lot of times. And then just like some of their thoughts, a little bit on like just class balance and some of their thoughts. So, it was really cool. And to be fair, these guys, like, Marcelio and Flame doing really good work in terms of like content, so
moderating it.
Definitely should check it out.
Definitely worth listening to. I don't agree with everything that they've said, but they do go through a lot of good points, a lot of things that I do agree with. They talk a bit about, for example, the situation with Covenant Legendaries and how they went from being, you know, kind of an option for people to being a non-option that just invalidates certain covenants because their legendary is awful.
Right.
And then you have things like, of course, the Boomkins with their Venthyr Covenant Legendary that's getting nerfed by 40% and still probably going to be the best option.
Definitely some difference in like the power of each of those. So, I would check out that just to hear some more WoW content, give you 2 hours. Be cool to take a look through. So then the next thing I wanted to cover real quick was just about one of the systems that that sort of has come out or will be a part of 9.2, which is the boss rush in Torghast. So WoW did a write up on this. I actually haven't had a chance to test it. That was going to be what I'm going to work on this week. But basically, it's like Torghast Light. So it's a boss rush idea where you go through. I think it's like six or seven floors. And the floors basically are quick hitters. There's only either trash mobs in the middle or bosses, and you basically have to clear them out and then move on to the next room. And once you start the original engagement, it's all timed from there. So like as you move up in layers, the bosses not only become more difficult, like higher level, more elites, but they also come out quicker and quicker. So there is sort of a speed component to that. That's interesting. So it's a cool little system. You end up getting, so there's nothing really to loot. I believe all of your like knowledge, what do they call it? Tower knowledge, turned abilities carry over. That's all turned off. That's turned off. And there's no like looting or anything like that. So I think you get a set amount of Phantasma between floors, the brokers at the start of every floor after the first one. It's a cool little boss rush idea. I haven't had a chance to actually test it out myself, but it definitely is interesting. The one thing I think, and you mentioned this in the notes, where you start with the ability to get 3 epic level powers to start, which as means a monk,
promote, you can get 0 good power. Actually, you can get 1 good power. You can get the AoE Touch of Death power. And then if you are Necrolord, you can get the one that just like makes Bone Dust Brew insanely powerful.
Yep. It makes it sick for,
I don't think there's any other good epic powers.
So it kind of sucks because like Vivify one is a common. So you have to get that from either the vendor, one of the other animorphs that spawn. But
if you get the AoE Touch of Death power, if you haven't figured it out by this point, you should be playing the Touch of Death ring in Torghast it's just correct to do. It's basically free at this point. You can go and pick up an eye level 190 legendary for like 2k gold, yep. even on my Backwater Realm. Put the Touch of Death Ring on it for basically free. And then like it just makes everything so much easier. Here, I don't know if it's going to be absolutely correct because Touch of Death, not as good on bosses.
Right.
And because it's, I want to test this. If you don't get enough common and uncommon powers, then it will actually not be possible to put together the like zero cooldown Touch of Death build that also has the HP stacking. Like you won't, right. There's no Mallrats, so you can't hit the Mallrat HP power. There are actually a couple of epic powers that just double your max HP that stack in interesting ways that could be good. If you get both of them, instead of having 300% HP, you have 400%. And you have another HP increase that of course also gets multiplied by those. So it's actually kind of silly. Yeah. That's how I have a screenshot of me with 7 million HP at the end of Adamant Vaults.
Not bad.
But really that's my main concern is like they give you epic powers and in theory that's good, but a lot of the epic powers are actually just really bad.
Right. Yeah, or they require like another power that scales into it, like the HP one. Yeah, so that's the one thing I think that you have to sort of be mindful of is that because this is a boss rush, you're not clearing full floors in between. So the idea is like any sort of scaling that you might look at that requires you to use an ability multiple times or, you know, kill a certain enemy, right? You're not going to have that. So that's the one thing they did notice or did sort of point out.
Yeah, and they did say that they're going to be removing some powers that don't make sense.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping. I mean, obviously, that should include anything that's related to Mallrats because there's no Mallrats.
Right.
I'm hoping that doesn't mean that they removed things like the Touch of Death Fortifying Brew power, which is when you cast Touch of Death, your Fortifying Brew increases your max HP by an additional 15%. Mm-hmm. And if you're not playing the Touch of Death ring and you're not getting your common powers to reduce the Touch of Death cooldown, then it takes a really long time to stack that up because you can only cast it once every 10 minutes or every 3 minutes. Right. But once you get it down to, you know, 0 seconds, then you just like cast it all the time and get lots of stacks. And I'm hoping that doesn't mean they're just like, oh, all the stacking powers are gone because you're not going to have time.
Exactly.
In some cases you would have time. So I don't know. I am cautiously like, I don't know what to think about this yet, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, neither do I. And there's not too much in terms of like rewards here. Like you'll get Soul Ash and Soul Cinders for doing some of these layers. I think you get a chance at some of the conduit upgrade stuff. But I think to be fair, you're looking at this as more of a like prestige type thing because there's a mount reward for it. There's a title reward for it. I think there's a toy right in there too. So I mean, it's more of that type of idea. But it seems interesting. We'll see how it plays out. In terms of, you know, how it plays, but it seems like an interesting sort of thing they could also do with Torghast is just like give you the ability to just like plug through bosses, play maybe in a slightly different way, play with maybe different powers too, right? To see if you'd like that. So, all right. Well, I think that was like at least the two things I wanted to catch up on, before we jumped into some of our big topics for today. So, I think I split this up into two areas, and I guess Emelson, whichever way you wanted to walk through, we could. So I want to do a little bit of a PTR boss review, sort of talk through some of the bosses, I think you did a bunch of testing.
I have to be able to probably every boss except the boss that people care about most, which is unfortunate.
And I've done zero, so all of my knowledge is based off watching people stream it, and then I did Max did put out a video doing his review. I watched through that. So I don't know if you would do that. And the other thing we wanted to do was just do like a full year interview, talk about the highs, the lows, the interesting things that have happened, at least in WoW over the past year or so. So I don't know which one you'd want to jump into first. I'll let you decide.
Yeah, we can just go like front to back in the raid, which it's okay. The raid layout is similar to Castle Nathria. There's a bunch of forking paths. And so that means there's not really a strict like second boss or third boss or fourth boss, but you have this kind of like first boss, then, you know, second through seventh bosses, and then eighth boss.
Yep.
Which the first boss I also didn't test. It is what's that called? Hang on, I just had this pulled up. Vigilant Guardian, I think it is.
Yep.
And that one looks like just Hellfire Assault.
That's what someone was saying. It's also
extremely broken on PTR. Well, I say extremely broken. The fight functioned, but there were some oversights in the strategic elements where you could, though basically the way it works is you have to kill a certain ad before the boss, the boss, this wall, does this giant AoE in order to get a shield so that you don't die this head AoE. Except that they didn't have enough health, and so you just ended up with like a bunch of the shields floating around and just like had to wait for the boss to do its mechanics before you could, you know, collect your loot. So
yeah,
kind of a similar issue that actual Hellfire Assault had, where once people were more geared, you spent time kind of waiting around for things to happen because everything died too quickly.
Yep.
So yeah, at least it's just the first boss,
right? Right. Yeah. I think, I mean, to be fair, like I don't mind these type of bosses, at least as first bosses, right? Where it's like a little gimmicky. I think the only, the nice part is like we assume that they're going to put some sort of skip in, probably a skip to Andor. They might do the same thing they did in HFC, although HFC had a lot more bosses, but HFC had two skips. They basically had the skip past Gorfiend and then they had the skip to Mannoroth. So they might do something similar where you might get a like an Anduin skip into a like jailer skip, right? Or like it's the skip to Anduin, you just have to kill Anduin and then the door to jailer is automatically open without having like similar like KT's door is automatically open after you get the skip there. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully at least my hope, I guess you could say, would be that the skip is triggered before this first boss. Because if it's after in farm, it's just like my guild is 100% gonna wipe to this because we're just idiots. I mean, like
that's how it was in Castle Nathuri. You killed Shriekwing and then you got to skip to Sludge Fist.
Right.
So and again in Sanctum, you kill Terragru, you skip to KT.
I'm just hoping they then did in what BOD, you could go right to the end. Although they added that after the fact.
That was added just so people would, like, that was just added so people could farm mounts. That's the whole reason that was added.
True. But then HFC, I mean, I guess to be fair, if we look back, HFC had their portals before the first boss. And that was intentional, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe. Honestly would be fine with me because I didn't, you know, don't really want to do Hellfire Assault.
Yeah, neither do I.
So the next kind of layer of bosses, we have Dasagne, which is the very first boss that got tested on PTR. This is the one that so her main gimmick is that she will at various points teleport around the room and activate a pillar. This pillar you need to like attack her and break her shield before the raid wipes to ticking damage. But once the pillar is activated, periodically rings like halos, if you've seen the priest ability halo where there's this like circle that goes out from it, comes from every activated pillar, and she always activates it no matter what you do. She will activate the pillar, even if you instantly break her shield, the pillar still gets activated. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. And when you cross one of the circles, you get a debuff that makes the next circle crossing do like a bajillion times more damage. So you really want to be spacing them out. And there's an extra element on heroic where you have to also be spread. So you can't like stack the entire rating and cross because you do an AoE around you when you cross.
Gotcha. Yeah. Max is pointing out this is very much like Priestess of the Moon. If you remember that in.
Except Priestess of the Moon in Tomb of Sargeras, you really didn't want to cross at all. Like you wanted to cross when you crossed, you apply the debuff to the whole raid, right?
Or you did damage, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like you wanted to stagger it so that your debuff would drop.
Yeah.
But with this, it may well be, especially since it's at, you know, this could be a potential second boss in the raid. It may well just be that you have to do a bit of a spread. You know, you spread. And maybe it is that you go in kind of waves where each, you know, group of five people crosses and you do it where you're spread and then the next five crosses, but there's not the timing elements of like having to wait for your debuff to drop.
Yeah, so it'll definitely be slightly easier than that for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good boss. I enjoyed it. It's going to be actually, I think, pretty, like, as far as second bosses go, especially, this is like one of the better ones that we've had in a while. Like, this is significantly better than Eye of the Jailer. And let's see, the other ones we had Huntsman, and you could either go Artificer or Sun King.
Yeah.
And I would say this is probably going to be better than any of those three. Maybe not Artificer, but at least better than KT, better than Huntsman.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially day one Huntsman, which was an absolute cluster. When he was doing like 30k damage a tick on his bleed, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Artificer, one of the other bosses you can do second is Artificer Zymox, who, if you remember from Castle of Nathria, we did not actually kill him. He teleports away.
Yep, right at the end.
And so he is back. I do not know for sure whether you kill him this time or if he teleports away again. I hope he teleports away again and we see him next expansion. But it's a very different fight that actually takes some of the same elements from the Castle of Nathria version, namely the portal, and combines it with other things. So you've got your portal, you've got your stasis trap, but all the other elements of the fight are different. And so you take those two things and it completely changes how you interact with the fight. This time, the fight goes through distinct phases. It still has HP-based push timers, but when you push, mechanics get canceled. So one of the mechanics during the main phase of the fight is that rings will go from either the center of the room to the outside or from the outside into the center, and they basically just kill you if you touch them. So you use the portal to cross. Easy peasy. Yeah. Those rings go away when you're skipping every ring and you just don't do any of the fight mechanics. We will see if that's actually how it pans out. It really depends on scaling.
I was going to say the ring mechanic looked really cool. It looked like a lot of movement, like a lot of like blink class and stuff like that. I think you're going to easy time with it. But I think what?
The tank mechanic.
Okay.
So the tank mechanic, much like in the original Zymox, you need to run away from the group because it does fall off damage. But then it grips everybody in the raid to you.
Oh.
And if they are on the wrong side of the wall, they get gripped through the wall and die.
Oh, that's interesting. If there's a stasis
trap between you and them, they get hit by the trap, get stuck there, and probably die because a wall's coming. If they are on the other side of the portal, they get gripped through the portal and go to the other side of the portal.
Interesting. Did you test clearing stasis traps the same way you could, like with like DKs or rogues or something like that?
They stay there. They actually, even if somebody steps in them and gets trapped, and then you kill the trap, the trap is still there.
So you're basically that'll be interesting. Yeah. So it'll be interesting movement wise, right? Because you're gonna wanna reposition each set. I'm assuming there's like multiple sets of portals, right? You'll end up dropping. I think what I said, they're a lot less frequent than in the original Zymox fight, but still there's multiple sets.
It's like either one per phase or one per ring, kind of like. Gotcha. So you get one at the beginning of each phase, and I think you might get a second one after the first set of like the ring mechanic. Gotcha. It's despite having many similar elements to the old Zymox fight, it's quite a bit different. And then the intermission phase is really not a lot to talk about. It's just adds. You just group up the adds and kill them. There's some important kicks. You have to kill certain things before they basically go Super Saiyan and murder your raid. But nothing really to talk about there.
That's awesome. Yeah, it seems like a really fun fight. So
I think that one is the one I'm most interested to see how it's going to turn out. Because it could turn out extremely well, or it could just be kind of like, eh.
Fair enough.
And we got Skolex. This is kind of a Sludge Fist kind of fight where there's really not a ton going on. There's just ticking raid damage. There's stuff to not get hit by, you know, falling rubble to not get hit by, gigantic cone to not get hit by. And then the main gimmick of the fight is the boss itself is stationary. Uh-huh. And what you do is you, if you stack the entire raid at one point within like 5 yards of each other, yeah, the boss moves to you.
Oh, interesting.
He leaves a puddle where he was on heroic. It goes away shortly after. It will kill you if you're in it, but it goes away shortly after. On mythic, it's permanent. And then he's going to burrow under you, and that's, you clear your ticking raid damage dot using that burrow. So you stand in it, it removes your sand debuff or whatever it's called.
Gotcha.
And then that resets it, but then for the rest of the fight, he does more damage. And it also does a big burst of raid damage when you do that. So it's the kind of thing where, like, you know, you drop a spirit link totem or a barrier on the raid. You have to be careful to do it when he's not going to be throwing projectiles that are right, all targeted at players. So if they are, if you do bait at the wrong time, you will have projectiles on you, and you will die.
Jesus. That's interesting.
So it's going to be very interesting. I expect that actually this is another one where on heroic, I think by the time a lot of people are pugging heroic pretty cleanly, you're not going to have to do the bait very many times. You might have to do it like once or twice. This right, is when I'm actually concerned a little bit about pugging, because of the fact that everybody has to stack. If yeah, even one person is not there, you can't do it. And basically it's a raid wipe.
Yeah, because like I guess the other thing too is you can't just continually clear because he gains like a stacking buff, right? Like damage buff.
Yes.
I get some very Uru like vibes from like AQ40 back in the day from this guy. But cool, yeah. It seems fairly simple mechanically. Yeah, probably just like a DPS check, right? Like you basically have to kill it before the damage just becomes too high. Yeah,
yeah. And for tanks, it's got the it's almost a copy and paste of the combo from what's the boss in Nihilotha? The dog boss.
Oh, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. It's so it's like the two point or like two of one yeah, side, one of another, and it's just it's random. So sometimes the dog boss is what, two poisons or one physical or two physical, one poison, basically.
Yeah.
Basically, you just couldn't take two of the same buff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically that, except it also had a minimum, it had a maximum range that was very small. And since the boss didn't move, you could actually, when it started, just move both tanks out of range.
And, oh, didn't hit any of them?
And it wouldn't hit anybody. And then also it had the fun thing where if the primary threat target was not in range, it wouldn't auto attack. Normally when a boss is like that, if you think back to other stationary bosses we've had, if the primary threat target is not in range, and this actually also applies to every mob that gets rooted. So if you ever, frost mages do not press Nova when your tank is kiting, because you will murder the melee, because they will all turn and auto attack the closest target that they can, or the highest threat target that's in their auto attack range.
Yeah,
this boss wasn't doing that, so we actually did some testing with, and this is obviously not going to work on live, they're going to fix this, but we had all the hunters misdirect to Boomkin and they did their Rav burst at the start and then just like zero tanks.
That's so interesting. Yeah, because yeah, typically it's either it starts killing melee or it'll the boss will like AoE.
Yeah.
Like constantly AoE damage. Interesting. Well, yeah. Cool. All right. A little sand boss. Okay. We got some differences here. I'm liking it.
Yep. Yep. And then moving right along to another sand boss. This one is like a spider bot. Like literally.
Okay.
And it's some kind of mining bot. You know, it starts off with some floating pillars kind of circling around it. If you remember like the orbs around Kael'thas's head.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that. And you basically, you point the tank beam at one of them, and it breaks the shell that's on it and allows it to be damaged. And you want to kill all of these and then damage the boss, because the boss takes, I think it's 15% less damage or 20% less damage per pillar that's active.
Gotcha.
So in the very first phase, there's two pillars. The next phase has four. The final phase has five, I think. So and obviously you don't want to be pressing Bloodlust with, you know, 45% reduced damage. That's just inefficient. So you kill those, and there's a few other things. It's got kind of an Ashvane style soak the bubbles mechanic, okay. Except that the it's not a permanent dot that gets put on you like it was on Ashvane, which sucked. It's more of like a you get a minute long debuff or something that increases the damage you take from it. And gotcha. DPS can pretty comfortably soak two with a personal. And then if you skip a cycle of them, then your debuff falls off and you can soak more.
Gotcha. Okay. So you basically have like two soak groups or like.
Yeah. So, and well, as you progress through the phase, there's more and more and more bubbles. So kind of what we were doing is the first couple of waves, you know, just kind of group soak. Don't kill yourself, but group soak. And in the last couple of waves in each phase, we would have immunes. And so gotcha. Someone would, you know, press bubble and horsey and go pick up all the bubbles. Because if you're immune, it doesn't apply the debuff to you. And obviously, you also don't take damage. This is different from in Ashvane, where you still got your dot if you were immune. And resulted in the floor paladin strategy, where you soaked all the bubbles, died.
Just stayed
and
dead.
And then got a B-res. It's soaked more with an immune and then died again and it repeated the process one more time, which was kind of shit. I mean that's kind of the boss. It has this big walking phase from one room to another every time you push it to a certain health percent. When they started the PTR for this, it didn't have health scaling turned on, so 10 man groups and 30 man groups had the same health on the boss. And so if you watched one of the big streamers, you would have seen the health basically get tripled like three pulls in because it had 25 million HP. Well, my group was testing with 10 people and it also had 25 million HP and it also didn't have its health meaningfully increased. So it really was just like they forgot to turn the health scaling on.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then we got the prototype Pantheon. This is a council style boss. You start off with two prototypes of the Shadowlands Pantheon. I think you start off with the Bastion, like a prototype of the Archon, and then a prototype of the Primus. Okay. And they have some abilities. Like if you're familiar with the final boss of, I'm bad with names today. The bad Bastion dungeon.
The Necrotic Wake.
No, the other one.
Spires, essentially.
Spires, that one. The last boss of Spires. Like, the mechanics are reminiscent of that.
Okay.
And then the Primus just has some adds to kill. And there's a couple of other mechanics. Like, you get... The Primus will put debuffs on people. You have to dispel those people inside one of the shields that the Archon puts down, or you die.
Oh, okay.
And if you dispel it outside of the shield, you die. And if you dispel it inside both of the shields at the same time, they both get consumed and the other person's going to die.
Oh, Jesus. Gotcha.
So that was fun. And then once either of them reaches 50%, and this is important, once either of them reaches 50%, they both become untargetable and like go away. They are both going to come back at the final phase with whatever health they had left. So you don't want to burn one.
Gotcha. Okay.
You want to kind of cleave them evenly. So like phase one and phase two is primarily like two target cleave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then phase two, you get the prototype of Denathrius and you get the prototype of the Winter Queen. The Winter Queen is just generally annoying. There's some seeds that she spawns that have to get healed up. And they do.
Oh, I saw that.
Lots of raid healing, give like a healing received buff to the entire raid. You can micro that. I don't think you will need to on heroic, but probably will on mythic. And then Denathrius does Denathrius mechanics.
Nice.
He does his tank frontal that still applies its debuff to both the tank and other hostile targets. So AKA the other bosses. Which is awesome. He does his Hand of Destruction this time with a twist. So Hand of Destruction comes out, everybody gets a debuff on them, and you have to run away and spread out because it's going to send out basically prideful projectiles from everybody in the raid.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw this on the video. Yeah.
But this time, instead of like a ton of damage and a stun, it gives you a permanent stack of Burden of Sin.
Gotcha.
Which I don't think interacts with anything else that I can remember. Maybe it's got something on Mythic that it does. It's just a stacking dot, basically.
Gotcha.
But I mean, if the entire raid stacks with a Hand of Destruction, you will all just die because you will all get hit by, you know, 19 times four other projectiles and immediately fall over.
Yeah, that's a ton of debuffs. Unless the projectiles do, I don't know if you tested this, but if you stand right on top of each other, are the projectiles from the edge of your hitbox or from the middle? Fair enough. I saw that. Yeah, because I saw the other thing too that I think that Max was talking about with this one is it's like one of the first times because all of the bosses are active at the end, right? You have like 50% boss health of like four target cleave, which is unheard of in a boss fight for a while. I think the other thing too he was saying is that the boss health, they're not linked. So and you have to basically, and there is a, you have basically 20 seconds after you kill one to kill all the other ones or it heals to full, which is essentially a wipe at that point. But
yeah, I mean, it's definitely one that I do agree with Max's take that it would have been more fun if you, or more interesting from a strategy perspective, if you could kill one. Because none of them, at least on Heroic, were so overwhelmingly like, you know, oh, you have to deal with this one first. There are ones that would be really bad to have die first, like the Archon, because then you can't deal with the Primus mechanic. Right. So you would never want to kill the Archon first, but you could kill the Primus first and not really suffer from it. But the Primus by itself is not very dangerous. So maybe it's better to kill the Winter Queen first. And then maybe you don't want to kill Denathrys first because it implies this helpful debuff, you know. So there's just like interesting things there. And I think it is actually a council boss where it could have worked to let us, you know, kill them in any order we wanted and like be able to prio one if we felt that we needed to. Right. But four target cleave, get your Woodwalker stocks now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that'll be a good boss for them.
Potentially boss number three. So don't pay too much for those Woodwalker stocks, but you know.
That's true. That is true. Oh man. Awesome. Awesome. And then so there was what? There's two more. Then there's how do you even say it? Lithium?
Yeah, lithium is what people are calling it. It's the battery boss. Funny enough, it actually has battery-like mechanics, but we'll get to those in a second. So first off, and Max notes this too, because it's actually super important, the boss room is fucking huge.
Yeah, that's
Oh my god, it is so big. Like, we tried out a couple of pulls. Like, there's adds that spawn in different corners of the room, and you want to do the thing kind of like Kingaroth in Antorus, where you want to kill adds in, like, a specific add to make the phase easier. You can't cross the room. It's too big. You do not have time to get all the way across the room and kill the add in time. So if the ad spawns on the opposite side of the room from where you are, you just cannot... It's not an option for you to kill it. So either you have to play around it and like move the whole raid over there during the main phase of the fight.
Yeah.
Or you have to just commit to not killing that ad.
Right. Yeah.
Because a Warlock Gateway doesn't even cross a third of the room.
Jesus.
Where if you think of like something like Soulrender's got a reasonably large room. Warlock Gateway in either direction crosses basically the whole room.
Yeah,
this is a whole other scale.
That's mad. It'll be like one of the biggest boss rooms in a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of other massive boss rooms, but
this is the boss room, biggest boss room. It's probably bigger than Nazoth's boss room, and I think that's the like second biggest one that we've had.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's crazy.
But like. Phase one, not a ton going on. There's a tank frontal that actually the dungeon journal tells you to sidestep out of. So you should sidestep out of it. It really hurts.
Yeah.
And then the boss will summon little star things like the final boss on Tazavesh. Okay. Those kind of star things. And you don't want to touch them because when you do, they explode. And they leave permanent puddles that cannot be removed.
Okay.
On heroic testing, the puddles didn't actually hurt that badly, and the damage from them wasn't stacking correctly, I don't think. But obviously, that they're going to be dangerous on mythic, so you don't want to touch them. Yeah. You get another mechanic that puts a circle on people. That then, if you hit the stars with the circle, but not yourself. Don't hit yourself with the stars. It kills the stars and there's no puddles.
Oh, okay.
So the whole idea is basically, at least on PTR, you are able to stack the stars. So you have everybody that got them just like move to a marker, drop them, and then hit all of those stars with the stack, the circle thing, and just remove them.
Gotcha.
And just get like the room is huge, but you could basically stay in the same 20 feet of it for the entire first phase.
Okay.
And so what we did is like we parked ourselves next to two of the spawn points for the ads, and you know, we would go and kill those, and then the other two just like the other thing. So there's four different kinds of ads. One of them basically didn't work on PTR. It did work, but it was buggy. And the way, what you could do is you could like taunt it off into a corner and let it stay there. And it would just stay there forever and never do anything. And then the others, like there's one that does a big knockback when it dies. And you want to be careful with that one because it can knock people into the stars or into the tank frontal or into any number of other bad things. There's basically a copy of the Guardian from this tier that summons the sentries. Not very dangerous, hits the tank pretty hard, summons sentries, kind of annoying, not a huge threat. And then a bunch of like little ads that on PTR didn't really do anything, you just killed them. And then on Mythic, they apparently summon stars, like they give people stars to drop, which is then makes them significantly more dangerous. Because that's if crazy. You have stars to get dropped at a bad time and you don't have a circle to clear them, then that makes everything much harder. Because there are other knockbacks that go on. There are other knockbacks in the fight. So being knocked back into badly placed stars just like kind of sucks.
Yeah, you're screwed at that point. Interesting. That the Kingaroth stuff, that fight wasn't too bad. I mean, it was interesting to have like the DPS pushes where you'd want to kill. I think on Kingaroth you killed two of the three adds that spawned. At least on Mythic, right? So there was enough time to do that, but definitely it was a fun boss. That was a fun boss. The room size, that's crazy. I saw Max basically put out like the Warlock Gates didn't cover like a third. So basically, you're committing to kill like one of those big ads in the intermission and then dealing with the other one.
There's like where we were taking it is like there's this pillar basically in between two of the ads on each side. So there's the big room. Think of it like a rectangle, and kind of at each corner of the rectangle is an ad.
Gotcha.
But it's a very long, narrow rectangle. So you can kill two ads. You just really cannot get to the other two ads.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about that one. We're going to have to wait for Mythic testing and see what that looks like, because I feel like something's going to change with that. It felt like there is something, like maybe we weren't supposed to be able to stack the stars. So you had to like kind of use the room or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe one of the things like the shield had basically not working. You know, if they fix that, that changes things because we were just ignoring it. Like I literally set up a transcendence in the corner, transcended over there after taunting it, and just left it there. Yeah. And for the next one, I did the same thing. Just like stacked them up, leave them there.
Yeah.
And that's obviously not intentional.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And then lastly, there's Anduin, which I can't really talk about because I didn't test it. I saw a couple different POVs of it. I watched Max's thing on it, which I think Max's thing is pretty good. I would go watch that.
Yeah.
It will be linked in the show notes. So if you want to see that. I can't say much about it. I was on the road the day that testing was happening. So
I didn't get to test it at all. I saw Max's piece. So it seems like, I mean, to Max's point, it seemed like it's an end boss that he still gets the feeling that it was an end boss that they sort of have reconfigured their raid to now only run one. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like, I mean, hopefully it turns out better than Rastakhan, which Rastakhan felt like an end boss that didn't get finished. Like it was supposed to be the Alliance end boss and the Horde end boss was supposed to be Jaina. But Rastakhan felt like it was just like, oh, this isn't actually going to be the end boss because we realize that's not going to work. So, just remove some mechanics and call it a day. or don't add more mechanics. Like, this is fine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So no, it was, but yeah, it'll be nice. I mean, I think Max spoke pretty highly of it. The Lich King, of course, is a part of the fight. Yep. So you get to rekindle your love for fighting the Lich King. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on, and we haven't tested the final three, right? So there's also like Regalon,
the Dreadlord,
the Dreadlords, yeah, and then the Jailer, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how those final three do without any sort of heroic testing.
Yeah,
and of course no mythic testing, right? If that's how they actually go with it, so
yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm super psyched. I don't know. Is there a particular boss you're like most excited to do?
Definitely Zymox. Of the ones I tested, in Zymox.
Yeah, it's funny. Coming out of Castle Nathria, that was like the one boss I was actually excited to fight too. Was Zymox in terms of like the portals and stuff like that. So
yeah,
hopefully it's just as good. So
and they did. So it still has the health based push timers, which I'm still not a huge fan of.
Right.
But it is done in such a way that it's really we couldn't find a way to really screw yourself by pushing it at a bad time, because mm-hmm. it just resets things. And then the middle phase lasts long enough, the intermission phase lasts long enough that like the only thing I could come up with that you could really do is if you really, really, really need a Spirit Link Totem or something, mm-hmm. and you push too quickly and you just don't have Spirit Link Totem back up when you need it, which is a perennial problem. But yeah, it's you know, it's fine. I don't think that's a huge problem. I think that Zymox is going to be fun. I am looking forward to getting to try Anduin, but I didn't get to test it at all on PTR, so I don't want to be like, oh yeah, I definitely like that one.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Anduin will be interesting to see how that one plays out. So hopefully, I mean, like I said, it sounded like it looked good from the feedback Max had. It just hopefully it pans out at least on Mythic, right? We might see like a two week raid tier this week or this time.
Yeah, especially if we have no testing of any of the heroic bosses.
Yeah.
And the end of heroic bosses drop like highly desirable items like the Sylvanas bow or Sylvanas daggers or Jathis. Mm-hmm. That makes it worthwhile for Limit and them to go for those kills during Mythic Week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the thing that we're all looking at. So, well, cool. Well, I think that's a decent review there of the boss fights. We got about 40 more minutes. And I think the rest of the time we wanted to spend sort of walking through or just taking a look back at the year. Right. So, pretty elongated year in terms of what happened. I think as I was looking back, I was like, not a lot was put out in WoW. Like we had our one big patch in June, right in the middle of the time, but there wasn't really much between. Yeah. But there was a couple sort of, I think, highlights that sort of I wanted to touch on. So to do a little bit of a write up to do that. So I guess we'll start with like the start of the year. So we ended the year with we ended 2020. With like Castle Nathria being released and like the expansion launch, right? So I know that this is something I skipped, but I guess we had finished up Nathria in 2021, right after the holidays.
Yeah, like there were very few people that had completed Sire Genathrius in December. Number of people in the world with that a kill at that point in time is like 100, and it's comprised almost exclusively of people in Method and Limit or Echo and Limit. And everybody else basically killed it from January forward. So technically, Castle Nathria, a lot of it was this year. But yeah, you are right. There's not a lot that was going on. Like we got 9.0.5 in March. That's really the first content update since the release of the expansion in November.
Right.
And it wasn't even really a content update. Just a few different things in there. We got, you know, monk fixes and some small balancing changes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. I guess we got Valor in 905, right?
Yeah, so Valor, that's one thing I missed. So Valor did come in there. So we got the upgrade for Mythic Plus items, which I guess was, you know, a good sort of change. And then we also got, which I put in the notes specifically, was they toned down a bunch of ground effects. So this was like the idea where like
Ashen Hollow, now when you cast it, if you're not the casting paladin, it's like bright for like 2 seconds and then it fades. And this was actually a huge problem in Sired and Athreus because of how everything there is red. So giant Ashen Hollow, meaning that you can't see the other red effects, or it's very difficult to see the other red effects that are going on, was definitely an issue.
Yeah, particularly like the swirlies that would bop you off and things like that. So yeah, no, this was one of, I think, my raid's more exciting changes, right, was the toned down ground effect stuff. But yeah, we did get Valor, which I think Valor is cool. Like I've used a bunch of Valor to max out some trinkets, right? Get the lower level version of trinkets like from the dungeon, and was able to get them, you know, up to like what, 246, right? I think is the
right now, yeah.
The max right now. So
I can honestly say that I have never spent Valor to upgrade an item.
Oh really?
I never got the blood spattered scale trinket again from the other side. I still do not have another one, which I haven't bothered running it this season because they're good raid trinkets.
Yeah.
They're really, really good raid trinkets. So I just haven't gone and gotten another one.
Yeah.
And the Vein Rippers that I have from Heroic are just better than Pox Storm. So I haven't bothered trying to get those. Although I did at the beginning of the season before I had them and they never dropped. So I just never had anything worth spending Valor on. So it's just kind of pulled up, and now in 915, kind of getting ahead of ourselves. But in 915, they added a vendor that you can buy account bounce stuff and send gear to your alts with excess Valor. So that's what I've used my Valor on. Which has been kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I didn't spend any in 905, but in 91 I got Changeling, which is really good, and I got Ruby. Yeah. Which is really good in like back-to-back weeks from just running those dungeons for like my 4 mythic pluses or whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
So I used the Valor to upgrade those, which was 2 trinkets I still wear today. So.
Yep. I have a 950 or a 252 changeling in my bags that I have never worn.
Nice. Nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was 905. That was in March, right? So basically from like the beginning of the year till June, is when Sanctuary Domination, really the big content, the 9-1 content patch came out. So yeah, with 9-1 we ended up getting a bunch of stuff. So Sanctum, which I think we'll talk about in a little bit, we got Tazavesh, which is really cool, but I guess we'll sort of go one at a time rather than just skipping through. But Tazavesh mega dungeon was a blast. I ended up doing, I haven't done this as much as I wanted to because I actually really enjoy this place, but I ended up literally running hard mode like 3 times in 3 weeks and getting everything I needed gear wise. Yeah. So
it has the trinket, the sack, whatever it's called, from the mail boss, that is ultra high variance and sometimes will do silly things. And so that one is like not super desirable unless you want to fish for a really good RNG. But if you do want to do that, it's good. I really like Tazavesh. I've tried pugging it a couple times. It is shockingly difficult to pug.
Really? I didn't.
And it's not the bosses. It's the pets. It's all the pets in the trash in the first part that people just kind of like facepull.
Yeah. There's
a little bit of issue with the bosses, like the final boss of the kind of first wing where you have to, you know, cross the barriers and get the kicks.
Yeah.
That one's trouble. And then actually, funnily enough, the market boss, whatever it's called, where you have like the destroyer and then the bastion Goliath and then the gnome that, you know, goes crazy.
Oh yeah, like the three. Yeah,
that one.
Interesting.
People don't know what to do with the debuff. They don't know how to eat the orbs. And so you end up with just like so many orbs you literally can't move.
And is there, I mean, since it sounds like you put it a couple times, have you had any issue with like the symbol boss, like after the Murloc area?
Haven't gotten there.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I have not successfully pugged that far.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Actually, I take that back. I did do that in the semi-pug. We had like two guildies and three other people. So it was like mostly pug.
Gotcha.
But it was like pug. Like one of them, I think, was a friend of the guild. And then the other two were just randoms. So like we had enough, like the three of us kind of carry the earlier bosses. And then we got to the simple one. And what we did is we just dropped markers and we said, you do this marker, you do this marker, you do this marker. And then you just like wait for they will type in chat for you to do your thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And very much top down, like somebody looked at it, typed in chat. And just like, just absolute top down control.
Yeah.
and
it's all being like, yeah, gotcha. Okay. Oh, not bad. I mean, I think that Tazavesh is a dungeon. I think the mega dungeon idea is really cool. I think it's becoming, I think maybe too formulaic. So I hopefully they either start in 10.0 with one or like they just don't do it in 10.0 at all. Just because I think like the idea now, like that's the one thing that WoW, I think is annoying about WoW right now for me is that it's very formulaic in its like, all right, release 05. Like lessens the restrictions of like some of the stuff. 9.1, new raid, mega dungeon, new area, you know, 9.2, maybe not a new area, but like an expansion on something. And then like 9.3, final raid or whatever, and probably new area. So I think it's, they stop that maybe.
I don't think that it being formulaic is necessarily a problem. I think the dungeons, like Tazavesh is certainly, I think has a lot more similarities to Mechagon than it does to Karazhan. Karazhan. Yeah. Was such a different dungeon, like just different. And I wouldn't mind to see them innovate, like do more different things like Karazhan. But I don't see the like release schedule being inherently problematic. I do think that you hit on a couple of things like do you think are where like there's the 05 patches where they like loosen restrictions and do some bug fixes and tweaks and like that should really just be hot fixes. That shouldn't be dedicated to,
like a release patch.
Like an 05 patch should have more things in it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But yeah, we also in 9.1 we got the Mythic Plus score in game.
Yep.
And now that's how your dungeon achievements and your valor upgrades are unlocked. Valor upgrades also no longer account wide, unfortunately.
Right, they're character wide now. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I find pretty annoying. Although I actually do not have, because I got extremely lucky with gear early in the tier. I got my heroic weapons from Painsmith. I got my mythic weapon from the 9. I got my my domination stuff pretty early on. I think I had all the dom pieces the first week, and my domination set like complete the second week. So I just like didn't need to run Mythic Plus. So I didn't. And I don't have the 2K achievement yet. I mean 1980.
Nice.
Need to do literally any dungeon.
I'm trying to, so it's still season 2, right?
Yeah.
I have the season 2 stuff, but yeah. I did that really I haven't done a Mythic Plus dungeon in like probably a month and a half, like before November. Like I don't think I've done a Mythic Plus dungeon in 9.15, so
yeah, I've just done them on alts.
Yeah.
We also got Covenant Legendaries, which we touched on a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Love this.
Venthyr Monk. Very good. Actually, I feel like Venthyr ones in general are like above par. There's the Venthyr Monk one, the Venthyr Boomkin one. I think the Venthyr one for Shaman is actually pretty good too, but I don't remember for sure. I don't think it's better than their other ones, but I think it's like good.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a couple others that just like have good Venthyr Covenant Legendaries.
Yeah. But yeah, no, yeah, the Covenant Legendaries came in and yeah, I mean, this is the reason, the huge change to Mistweaver, right? Like the reason Mistweaver, I think, is considered a very good healer now in terms of just its HPS is just purely based on this legendary. There's a couple, I mean, they did some hot fixes behind the scenes to some of the logic, right? With the Fallen Order as a spell, which is helpful. I think this was 9-1 was when they standardized the monk adepts you get, right? Yeah, the type and number. So it was always 4 of whatever your main spec was, but they normalized it to 2 and 2 of the other specs, right? It was got Covenant Legendaries, which, you know, to be fair, we thought thought Venthyr wasn't a possibility. This is the one thing, looking back, is I will never underestimate two things: haste and cooldown reduction anymore. Because like I missed the haste stacking from Nyalotha on Mistweaver, in terms of like I downplayed how good it was in my head, and then I didn't think for Sinister Teachings you could generate the events needed to actually make the cooldown worth it. And now it's like the easiest thing in the world to play. It's Venthyr Monk 9-1 with SOD is like the minute it's so. I still remember the first raid I ran with Sinister Teachings, like after swapping and regrinding Renown. I just literally went from like being like, okay, like even with like my paladins, like the shaman in my raid, to just crushing and like AFK, yeah. Like just like hitting whatever button I want, like not really working hard for it. So yeah, it's fun.
It's a little bit, a little bit silly.
Yeah, definitely slightly silly.
Yeah, and this is actually something this is a sore point for me. I don't like the Covenant Legendaries, and I really don't like that 9.2 are two Legendaries is going to be one Covenant Legendary, which at that point is just like a part of the Covenant that you have to pay gold for, yep. Which kind of sucks. Plus another legendary. None of the Covenant Legendaries are all that good for Brewmaster. There are some good ones for, so I'm looking at right now playing Prop Paladin potentially next year because we have a Mistweaver. Mistweaver is good.
Nice.
So I might play another tank. And right now I'm eyeing Prop Paladin, and I've been playing a bunch of Night Fae Paladin, which uses the Covenant Legendary for them. Blessing of Summer on a Boomkin is very good.
Okay.
I had that do 400k damage during a Boomkin's burst.
Oh, Jesus.
On Remnant. It was very good. Details puts the number on their damage, so you get to see their burst be like, you know, 20% higher.
Yeah.
But it Warcraft logs associates the damage with the Paladin. So
nice.
You can get good parses solely on the back of having a good Boomkin in your group. It's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
The other buffs are also good, so it's something I'm looking at, but it is just like so hit or miss on whether the Covenant Legendary is actually worthwhile.
Yeah.
That I'm really not looking forward to that in 9.2.
But yeah, I mean it'll be, luckily like Mistweaver, you know, we make out that our Covenant Legendary is good, but no, I can definitely you're right. It's just another, it's like a piece of gear you have to pay gold for. Right, just because it's more eye level, it's more stats, and then it might have an added bonus of being good with the covenant you've picked. So
yeah,
I guess the other thing too that came in 9.1 before we touch on the raid is they added like the knowledge progression, tower knowledge progression, and Torghast, which I think was really good. That's something that Torghast probably needed from the start, some level of progression.
It actually is really noticeable when you get to the higher levels of it. Just how much power you get, and it makes everything so much smoother. It really smooths out the randomness.
Yeah.
Not completely removes it. Like you still have variance in the builds that you get, but it means that you get enough powers, at least for Monk, you can reliably go like, I want to try and do the Touch of Death thing. And you will like 90% of the time get the Touch of Death thing. And if you don't get the Touch of Death thing, you're probably getting Corrosive Dosage. So it's okay. You're still going to be able to do fun things.
Yeah.
There are other classes that I've done that are not quite as well off because they just don't have a very deep pool of good powers. Like, you know, classes where taking the haste Alboron armaments is like one of the better things you can do. I do like the system. I kind of wish that like it had something like what they added in 9.15 for the Archivist Codex reputation.
We'll
otherwise not speak of because it sucked.
I didn't put that on the list, actually. I didn't mention Korthy at all in 9.1. Fair enough.
That's for a reason. It was totally forgettable.
That's true.
In 9.15, they added a thing to the Archivist Codex vendor. When you're exalted, you can buy a thing that increases reputation gains for your alts by 50%. And I wish there was something like that for Tower Knowledge because it actually just kind of takes a while to get. Like I ground out enough soul centers for a couple legendaries on my alts, and still I'm only like halfway through, maybe two thirds of the way through the tower knowledge. So takes a bit.
I will tell you the funny thing that I found, I don't think I told the story, but I, the one power that unlocks the adamantite vaults, right? When you get a perfect score, you have to buy that power. I don't know if you noticed this, but before you buy any power, everything's grayed out. It's all grayscale, desaturated, right? And then when you pick it, it lights up. The one for adamantite vaults, the border is gold, even when it's not selected.
Really?
And so I thought I was done with tower knowledge. And I would run most of my Torghast with a mage buddy. So we'd do it together. He hated doing Torghast, needed the thing. So I'd do it. And then one Friday night, I ended up, it was maybe a Friday, whatever. One night I was like, I'm going to sort of run a bunch of Torghast, get some of these, like, get like finished up. We haven't done it this week. I'll do it on my own. And did it. And I perfected it. And I did get to adamantite vaults. I was like, what's going on? This is weird. And so like next week, run it with him, go in. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe something was weird. Run a couple other ones without him. Don't get it, even though I perfected it. I'm like, what is going on? And finally, like I'm looking through and I click on the adamantite vaults one and it buys man. It. I'm like, I literally spent like probably like 3 or 4 weeks without that one purchased and like never even noticed it because he ended up buying it. And I was like, I always ran it with him. So we always got it. But yeah, that was my only gripe with tower knowledge. It's just like they didn't desaturate that enough if you didn't buy it. So
yeah.
Or I'm just an idiot. So
I did a bunch of carrying guildies through it on my monk because it's just once you cap out the tower knowledge and you get so many extra anima powers, it's actually very easy to just perfect it. And you don't really need anybody else. Like they're actually, you have these other people and they are most useful to you on the first floor where you kind of still suck because you're playing a monk. But then you get corrosive dosage or you get touch of death, cooldown reduction or both. And you just kind of become as god and just kind of just blast the rest of it. And they're basically there to get you through the first floor slightly faster.
Exactly. That was my tower knowledge fun. And then of course, Sanctum of Domination was released in 915. The big raid.
I feel like that deserves its own episode for a full recap, but like high level thoughts.
Good. I don't think there's other than KT, which we talked about, I think ad nauseum in certain cases, I think the raid turned out really well. I didn't mind Sylvanas. I think I personally have a very high threshold for like what I consider an annoying boss or a boss that like bothers me. And in that regard, like, I feel like Sylvanas was fine as a final boss. Wouldn't make my top five, but I still think it was good. I think the rest of the raid, there was some really fun fights in it. Like, the nine, the first time doing it was cool. The nine sucks now doing it because it takes about 45 minutes to kill that boss. But no, the rest of them, like Soul Render, the middle part was really good. Soul Render, Painsmith, Remnant, I really enjoyed. Guardian's just fun now because you get to blast a bunch of HPS. It's just a good time. Then there's KT, which is eh. But no, I'd say solid raid, not terrible. And I'd actually probably say it's. I think it was better than Castle Nathria for me. Cause I think fair enough. But
the Nathrius is great. Sludge Fist is great. Zymox has issues, but it's fun. And those three kind of carry Castle Nathria for me.
Yeah.
This raid really has Painsmith. That's one boss that I really am like, stand out. This is fun. Remnant can be, but all the push timer changes during farm have just made it frustrating. It's like, well, how are we going to screw over our timers this week? And Fate Scribe is really annoying. I don't like that boss. KT, same deal. Guardian is fun. I do like Guardian. Soul Render. Yeah, okay. Soul Render is pretty good. The nine agree about it being a million years long. It feels like Sylvanas length, even though it's a 4 minute fight or whatever.
There's
so much time with nothing going on.
There's always that point, and it's always every week it's between 30% and 40% health on the boss where like I look at I'm like playing, I'm like zoning out healing, and then I'm like, all right, boss should be dead in like the next like 5 or 6 seconds, like zone out, and I look over at the boss
40%.
I'm like, what the fuck? We've been here for forever. It's been like 10 minutes now, That I saw our first kill, we six healed it, I remember. God, it was so, it took forever.
We did the same thing.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I can see three, those three bosses from Nathria sort of carrying it above SOD. I think SOD, I don't know.
There was Soul Legion Generals and Council of Blood in Council of Nathria. So win some, lose some.
That's true. I try and push Stone Legion out of my head, but I think solid rate. Yeah, maybe next week we should do a little bit of where we'd rank these bosses from SOD. We can do that. And then sorry, the other 915 thing, just real quick, flying was input, which I don't do world quests. I'm not in the world, so I don't use this. This is like the least amount I've used flying.
Yeah, ever. It's actually kind of funny. So you can't fly from zone to zone, so you can't like fly from Ouroboros to places, right?
Yeah.
And unlike in BFA and Legion, where unlocking flying unlocked it in Broken Shore or in Nezhatar, it doesn't unlock it in Korthia. You can't fly in Korthia or the Moat. So this is definitely the least I have ever used a flying unlock ever.
Yeah, it's...
I get more use out of it on alts because I level the alts and I get to fly while I'm leveling the alt.
I will tell you that I forget on my shaman that I'm flying. So like I'll like land in the Maldraxxus place and I'll just get on a, I'll do like Ghost Wolf and Ghost Wolf into Covenant, right? Because it's just like I don't ever remember to fly. Yeah. So just quicker. Yeah. Flying's useless. All right. So final patch, which was just in November, the 915 patch, which I guess we could call this like the quality of life patch. Right. Yeah. I didn't list out everything, but I mean, like the biggest things, they made Korthia a ton easier for both alts and mains to sort of get through a ton more progression things.
The only reason I finished the Archivist Codex rep, the only reason.
Torghast now is this 915 is when you do unlimited Torghast. There's no longer a weekly cap. You can just collect if you want to spend like a week or a night, I'm sorry, running through Torghast 50, 60 times, get your soul lash. You can do that. A lot more like alt stuff. They added the covenant swap. So once you max out a covenant, you can just swap to any other covenant whenever you want.
So you can actually swap sooner. So like I have on my paladin, I have not maxed out any covenant. I have not maxed any of them at 80, but I can still swap. It's just that you don't get to keep the cosmetics.
Gotcha. Well, and so they still allow you without the quest to swap?
Oh, I mean, I haven't tried switching back to Venthyr. I'm pretty sure I can, though.
Okay.
I thought
I thought you needed 80 to make the quests go away.
Actually, it might be you need any character on your account.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Actually, let me go do that. I'm going to go right now. I'm going to log in. I'm going to see if I can swap back to Venthyr on my paladin.
Gotcha. It might be
it's going to make me do the quest.
You're right. It might be account wide though. I think I remember reading that. I don't remember.
We're gonna find out because I'm gonna be kind of annoyed if I swapped to Night Fae. So I swapped to Night Fae to play around with the buffs, and because I wanted to help my raid leader pick up his rank one hunter parse on Guardian.
Gotcha.
Blessing of Autumn, very good for BM hunter.
Gotcha.
So wanted to do that. So I just swapped to it. I was at 78 on Venthyr. I just didn't want to like get those last two were down. I was like, whatever, I'll go Night Fae.
Yeah.
So if this is gonna tell me that I have to
do those quests again.
Which I mean I can just max out the Night Fae right now, right?
Yeah.
I can max out the Night Fae. I'm at like 70 right now, so it's not gonna take that long. But it would be annoying if I went to like swap back to Venthyr for raid for other bosses because you know still good. Still very good.
Exactly. Oh, I forget. But then they also, I guess while you're sort of checking that covenant swap stuff, the other thing they did sort of remove is the AoE cap. So AoE caps are now removed, and they basically just did what they probably should have done from the start is rather than having a hard cap, you just do reduced damage when you hit more than six mobs with an ability, but it's spread across all mobs that are hit. Right. Yeah. Versus like being a hard cap of like only hitting the first five. So it definitely cleans up, you know, really mythic plus situations, but even like raid situations where like you'd end up with like some mobs just naturally higher because they've skipped it. So
yeah, I think it was an instant swap back. I have not maxed out any Like my, I misremembered. My vent year is 68.
Gotcha. Yeah. So there must be, it must be account wide then in terms of the covenant swaps, which is, which is, I mean, that's huge in terms of just playing around it. Right. And it's annoying. I'll tell you that this probably wasn't in the game to start with, but like typical Blizzard, and they've changed this, right? If this would have been what they had in mind from the start of the expansion and just telling us would have been better. Because like the way this was announced, like this entire patch to me is like the trying to save face with your community patch. So it's a bunch of stuff that people just asked for that they've like just put in the game. And whether they were going to do it or not, the perception, at least from my perspective, is like they had the whole, they had the whole like lawsuit issue and a lot of the stuff that happened over the summer. A lot of the awful stories you hear coming out of it. And then all these changes, which have been things people have like asked for months about with the game, start coming in. So almost like they should take feedback during beta or alpha and build the game to start like that.
Yeah. There's also one of the other things from this patch. We got Legion Time Walking and the Time Walking Mage Tower. We talked about this. We had an episode on this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's actually close to a month ago now. Wow. It's good. I wish we got more time. We actually did get Mythic Plus extended all the way. It's still active right now.
Yep.
You can go do it. I wish it was just like the rest of the season we had Legion Time Walking and they just, again, didn't get the trinkets.
Yeah.
Just let us have our trinkets. And again, the one trinket that they didn't get, Faulty Countermeasures. We have a DK, or I guess Demon Hunter now. That is in Vault of the Warden's Jail because he's trying to get a faulty countermeasures and he's run like 100 of them.
Oh, really?
He swapped to running them at +2 because he's got enough valor now to just max out the eye level on it.
That's funny. Yeah. No, they, Legion Time Walking has been cool. The Mage Tower, I think, was just, it's still some of the best content Blizzard's ever done. So slightly. Yeah. Different doing it now. I would say it's not as fun, but it still was cool that they did it. So
definitely was a lot different. It was so much different doing it now.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Yeah. And we talked about this before, but like, I do think Brewmaster benefited so much from the rework this expansion. And this is actually kind of getting into the last thing we wanted to talk about, which is kind of like the highlights from the year. Our personal highlights and things we're looking forward to. My highlight from this expansion has definitely been the Brewmaster rework. Like we've still got Stagger. A lot of our abilities didn't change, but the way our mitigation toolkit now works is so much different. And it still has rough edges. Things like the purified cheese stacks that we get being able to expire is just really silly and doesn't need to be there. And needlessly punishes you for like having an intermission. It's good. It plays a lot better. I'm very happy with the changes that they made to Brewmaster this expansion. And that's definitely my highlight. Like, even excluding Borrowed Power, which Brewmaster honestly doesn't have a ton of because all of our legendaries are kind of eh. Well, yeah. I mean, they're good, but they're not like class defining in the way that certain classes like the Venthyr legendary is for Boomkin.
Yeah.
So going in and doing the Mage Tower was honestly so much nicer than it was in Legion.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, yeah, I would say that for Mage Tower, for Mistweaver, like we ended up with a lot more CC, but it's on different timings. I think for me, the reason I didn't enjoy it as much was that it was so different. I also have a problem going back and beating things once there's newer things out. Like I very rarely enjoy going back to like do something I've already done. Particularly if it's just as hard or like the difficulty's still there, right? Like I'm fine going back in old raids and crushing them and getting like transog and stuff like that or mounts. But yeah, Mage Tower was like, but it sounds like people still enjoyed it. So it's definitely a huge highlight this year.
It's been an ego check from some people in some discords. Some people in some tank discords that thought they were hot shit and tried to do Mage Tower. And realized maybe they weren't as good as I thought they were. Which I don't know. There's like a I kind of enjoy that, not gonna lie.
The ego check.
Yeah.
I think for me though, my favorite part, I think the nice part about this year has been the fact that like Blizzard for Mistweaver Monk in particular sort of went out and did what they started the expansion with, which was balance the four covenants, right? Like I think right now Venthyr hands down probably the better, like the best of the four. However, none of the other three are too terribly far behind in terms of like overall power. Like you can still, you know, clear content and you're not holding your raid back if you're, you know, Kyrian or Necrolord or even Night Fae, right? So I think that's the cool part about this. The bad part though, of course, is like Mistweaver power is once again subject to a system that is potentially going away, right? Like similar to, you know, corruption and those type of things from last expansion and the essence, like the essences and stuff like that. And then previously in Legion, which it was just a terrible rework anyway. The artifact and stuff like that was so much of our power was in there. So no, I mean, I think, you know, for me, that's the one downfall, but no, the cool thing is they've nailed what they went out to do, which was balance covenants, at least for one spec, right? Which to be fair is probably a win in their book. But yeah, I guess the only other thing too would be like, are you sort of looking forward to anything?
It's definitely the raid. Like definitely the raid.
See, I was thinking and, short term like that.
I mean,
you know what I'm looking forward to?
The new
10.0 announcements.
Yeah.
10.0 announcements. But
I am not sure if I'm looking forward to that after seeing some of the cutscenes that are in the 9.2 PTR.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched any of those. I need to do a little deep dive on that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we're going to be having any lore corners for a bit, I'll say.
fair enough. God, now I can't wait. Yeah, maybe I'll, as I'm trying to figure out old GraphQL this week, I will put on those in the background and start watching some cutscenes. So I mean, I'm just excited for maybe new content, go back to level 50, re-squish ourselves, level another 10 levels,
I hope. Next expansion, all of the borrowed power gets condensed down to tier sets, legendaries. That's my hope. That's what I want.
I selfishly want to go back to the old legendary system before MOP, where like they were just
would be okay with that.
Like they were like single items that your raid as a group built, right? And only certain classes got them. Like the cool thing, the MOP thing, which is where they did this with the cloaks, was like cool. As a one-time thing, it got less
over and over again.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. This is sort of like the formulaic idea that
into the HFC rings. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Into from the rings, they went into Legion-specific ones. So like spec-specific ones, and then we got the same thing. Well, I guess did BFA have legendaries? Did your neck kind of no legendaries at BFA, and then they came back here with them in Shadowlands. So yeah, and I hope. I
really like how legendaries work right now. I would not be opposed to having something like we had the Sylvanas daggers, which honestly could have been like a your raid builds the legendaries for your rogues. Like that could have been just like the Cataclysm daggers for rogues. And honestly would have been better because our rogues now would have mythic daggers instead of one of them having, I think one of them has one mythic and the other one has two heroic.
So that's the opposite, where I think all of our rogues have mythic daggers, and we've seen one or two staffs from KT in staffs.
I have a KT staff.
Yeah, you do. Oh, great, great.
I think
so dumb
because I can't trade it. It's 259.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah.
There's no brewmaster weapons on the last two bosses.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. So no, I mean, I think. It'll be interesting to see what 10.0. I'm predicting as we look forward, right? Probably a summertime. So like before the end of August, like 10.0 announcement plus friends and family alpha. We're going crazy. So in 6 months, get 9.2 out the door and then quickly pivot and start to get working on 10.0.
Yeah. which, fingers crossed, I'll get some kind of beta or alpha access this time. I did not get any to Shadowlands.
Oh, I mean, I could. I got it twice on my account.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did.
So maybe, I mean, hopefully you get in there. That'll be, yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's the one cool thing I think I'm looking forward to is just get us out of Shadow. Like, I feel like we always do this with any expansion where you're just like halfway through, you're like, just get me out of this. But with like, I don't think in BFA I ever felt this awful about the game. Like, BFA had its problems, and like, even going through like, what was that? Like, Nazjatar and that, like the 9 or 8.2 patch into 8.3. I still was like excited to play 8.3. Like, now I'm like, if they were like, oh, we're gonna do a 9.3 too, I'm just gonna be like, I'm probably just logging off for a little bit. Like, clear Sepelter and then go from there.
I feel like it's just missing over and over again on the Covenant stuff is really the ultimate issue here. Like, there's the AoE stuff, which honestly didn't really matter to me ever, but it's just missing over and over and over again on the Covenant stuff.
Yeah.
In just really frustrating ways. And yeah.
That is what it is.
That is quite a note to end on.
yeah. Wait, sorry to be down. On a high note, raid soon. Should be like February, it looks like. So. Yeah.
We will probably start getting Mythic PTR testing in the next week or two.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to be coming back from holidays. This is going to be their first week back. So I don't know that we will get PTR this week. Like ray testing this week, but definitely the following week, I would expect to start seeing Mythic PTR testing, which is another thing in the very near term that is exciting. Gotcha. I don't know if we're going to be able to finagle 20 people. I may have to like try and put together a coalition of people's guilds that can actually do PTR testing.
Yeah.
Like, we have between the two raid teams in my guild, we have like 14 people that can reliably do Mythic PTR testing, which is really not enough. And we kind of flesh that out sometimes with people that are friends of the guild.
Yeah. But
it's just hard to find six people, right? So I think we might try and find like another guild that is in a similar situation where they just don't have enough people to do full 20 player mythic raid testing.
Yeah. It'd be cool to I need to change maybe my schedule. And then maybe I can do some testing. That'd be fun. But be interesting. I think I've only tested a handful of Nihilotha bosses, and that was about it. But I was also I had a lot less people that reported to me at work, so I had a lot more free time, I'll say.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, I think that was a good little recap episode there. So
yeah, I think that about wraps things up for this week and for this year.
Yeah.
Last year, I guess, at this point, because it is now January.
That's true.
That's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed it and you want to support this show and the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, we welcome you to come and join our Discord, which you can do, Patreon or not. The lounge channels are just a great place to hang out and chat with other monks. We've got lots of information through our questions and discussion channels and our theory crafting channels, as well as just like FAQ channels and things like that. And of course, all of this is also available on our website at peakofserenity.com. But thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week. And I think.
Bye. Wait, you think?
I was going to say what we were going to talk about next week.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
we talked about doing like a deep dive on Sanctum, right?
That's true. We'll deep dive Sanctum. We'll go through all the bosses, break it down, how progression went. Do it all. I like that.
Yep. I like that. All right. So next week, we will be here talking about just like a recap in depth of Sanctum of Domination. But until then, we will see you later.
Bye again.